Welcome, Pewter Report readers and listeners, to another edition of the Pewter Nation podcast. I am Mark Cook, along with Scott Reynolds, Mr. Trevor Sikkema with the hard part and his new haircut.
Mm-hmm.
And back behind us, just kind of standing in the background, loitering. We may
loitering.
Have to call security.
Loitering.
Is our main man.
Podcast supervisor.
I will not stand for this.
Our main man, Andy Schiavelli.
Supervisor.
Loitering. I won't stand for it. Get it?
That's a great one.
Make sure you're
I got to retire from this episode already.
All right. Well, we appreciate everybody listening tonight. Wow. Finally, right? First of all, let's go back a couple months. We were counting down the days to what we call real football, meaning training camp.
Mm-hmm.
Now, finally, we've gotten done with this preseason nonsense.
Yes.
And we are 9 days away from opening day. Maybe 10. I'm not good with math.
Well, it depends on when you're listening, too.
That's true.
It could be 5.
Could be one day if you're listening
Correct.
To it the Saturday before New Orleans. But bottom line is, real football is coming up for these Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And after this fourth rehearsal, is this team ready?
Yeah, I think the team's definitely ready. Not the guys that were out there tonight, mostly.
What?
In this fourth preseason game, a lot of them aren't going to be here come this weekend.
By the way, if you're freaking out because this team gave up a fourth quarter lead last week and lost tonight, and you're concerned about that.
Just focus on what the starters
did. Exactly.
That's all you got to do.
If any of those guys are contributing, then the season is pretty much lost anyway, right?
Yeah.
That means there's been a huge rash of injuries if you're down to your third string guys.
I'll tell you what, there was a huge rash of injuries during training camp. There was. I mean, we saw Charles Sims go get an injury settlement today. Mike Greenberg, Jason Light have been busy dishing out injury settlements left and right. This was a much more physical training camp, and there was a body count, unfortunately. And
you called for it, Scott.
I did call for
You're the reason there was a more physical camp?
Yes. And
you
also,
owe these players money, actually.
No.
They were getting cut.
No, the team does. The team does. Because their contract is not with
Pewter
Report.
Some of these injury settlements should go towards you, Scott. I think you're responsible.
Nope. They're contracted to play for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, not
PewterReport.com. Mitch Unrein.
Well,
may sue you.
He shouldn't. He should. He has no reason. I did not strike or headbutt or do anything to Mitch Unrein.
Let's
to
face
give him
it. Since last year, you've been bashing.
No, not bashing. I've been calling for a more physical training camp. Which
and you got it.
Has
and
this
now what
team,
happened?
Well, this team's starters on offense defense look a hell of a lot better in this preseason than they did last preseason. Running the ball, red zone, defense. We haven't seen probably enough pass rush yet, but they have at least the pieces of the puzzle in
ask
place.
Ask me next if they're ready.
Trevor, are they ready?
No. They've been.
Why?
They have been so beat up on so many different like fronts and units that if what they're saying is true and a lot of the injuries like aren't serious and those guys are going to be out there week one, that's going to be the first time basically since the first day of pads that everybody's been healthy.
Well, yeah, but I think that's around the league. You don't have 100% health on every team right
sure,
now.
Sure, but
or even a few teams
but like,
right now.
I don't know, man. I just
all right. Let's name guys time. That have missed a lot of preseason time that are going to roll out to New Orleans.
Vita
Vernon
Vea.
Hargraves, Vita Vea, Donovan Smith.
I don't know if Donovan's going to be available for week one.
He's tough. He'll be there.
I don't know.
He'll
I'm
be
not
there.
Sure.
I'm just telling you, he'll be there.
I think he will.
Mark my words.
I'm not sure.
But he's one of those guys that could be.
I don't know, man. I just I watched his team last year.
Wait, Brent Grimes missed some time.
I mean,
who else has missed time?
It didn't really matter too much. Brent Grimes missing time.
Yeah, that's true.
But,
Brent Grimes has not had a good camp, though. That needs to be said.
But
I'm sorry.
Okay, so like this is the part that I'm talking about. I'm not trying to play gloom and doom, but I'm also trying to say that this team went into the regular season last year and said, oh, yeah, we're ready to go. And they absolutely were not ready to go.
Yeah.
And I kind of get the same feeling this year. I kind of get the same feeling that they're like, no, we're just going to trot everybody out there and it's going to be fine. Like the sacks that we didn't get during the preseason is going to be fine. The bad O-line chemistry, because hey, you can't have it both ways. What do you want? The O-line to be bad or Ronald Jones to be bad? You know what I'm saying? So
yeah,
I have people right now arguing with me on both sides of the ball. There's, I think, just consistency problems all over the Buccaneers. And at New Orleans, ain't a place to fix it.
I hear what you're saying.
If they were opening up, like, versus
Cleveland?
Cincinnati at home,
yeah,
it'd be different.
I hear what you're saying.
But they're not.
I'll say this. And we talked about Donovan Smith for a quick second. If he's not going to be available, I think, and Dirk Koetter alluded to this a little bit, he wants to put the best five offensive linemen out there, and I think you're going to see if Donovan Smith isn't ready to go by Monday when they put their game plan in for the
Saints.
Who's going to
play left tackle?
Damar Dotson, I think, will move to left tackle.
You think?
Caleb Benenock will play right tackle, and Evan Smith will be right guard. That is their best starting five, along with Ali Marpet.
But, like, again, all right, so week one, do you trust that starting five? Because that's a brand new starting five. They've literally never taken a snap like that.
Well, they're getting. But listen, these guys are trained professionals, okay? Every single one of those guys
I've mentioned.
Every single one of those guys I've mentioned.
And eating.
Time
killing machine.
In a regular season game or a year's worth, or in Damar Dotson's case, 10 years worth.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that given a week's worth of practice time, a little over a week, that they can find some continuity to survive 1 week without Donovan Smith if Donovan isn't ready to go. And I'm not ready to concede that he is. I agree with Mark. He's a tough SOB. He wants to keep his starting streak intact, and I think that he'll do everything he can to be out there, but it's ultimately the trainer's call.
I think maybe the reservations that I have of just, like, totally buying into this team coming out in week one might have something to do with the coaches, and we'll talk about offense first, and I'll ask you because you were at Cutter's press conference, mm-hmm. which is tonight after the final game is when we're recording that podcast, and you were the one who asked him,
yeah.
right? You said, hey, did I say Dirk Cutter or Tom Monken? Which one did I say?
Dirk Cutter.
Yeah, okay.
Is the plan for you, Dirk, to resume play calling duties in week one? And that's what I threw out there.
He said, yeah, we'll see.
Yeah. Yeah.
He said, we'll see.
That's the plan.
That was a lot less of a yes than I thought that he was going to say.
If it's a no, it would have been a hard no, I think.
Correct.
So it tells me Todd Monken's calling plays in New Orleans.
Or at least Dirk is open to the possibility now of letting that continue.
Well, it's got to, just like Trevor talking about the continuity and things, if he's going to do it, he needs to make that decision and needs to start Monday in practice or whenever they get back out there.
Yeah, but Dirk did make a good point. I mean, this is the Tampa Bay offense. It is. These are the plays.
It's the order in which you call them. Exactly.
Yeah,
obviously, Todd Monken has done a better job.
I agree. Yes. And I wrote about it in my SR's Fab 5, and I think that Todd Monken is going to continue to call the plays. I think Dirk doesn't want to make a big deal about it. I don't think that it's a sign of weakness, or it's the sign that, you know, that Monken is necessarily like a better play caller in general. But I'm just going to say this. I think that Dirk Cutter gets all the credit because he's the head coach. He's the one that made this move. He's the one that said, Todd, you're going to call the plays. I'm going to just watch the game and be a game manager and a head coach. And Dirk Cutter gets all the credit for that decision,
regardless of how
good Todd Monken has been in the preseason.
Let me throw this out there. What's the odds they bring in Marcus Arroyo to call plays?
Zero.
Can go with zero.
Jeff Tedford.
Oh,
zero.
Go with, yeah, harder zero.
Yes.
Sure.
I will say this,
Jeff
though.
Jeff Jagosinski.
Oh, God.
That's my pick.
Les Steckel.
So, God, can we stop, please? You're going to start naming Gators coaches next, and I'm just going to have
Will Muschamp.
Get out of the podcast.
Galen
all right, I'm done. So here's something I noticed with the Jaguars. And now, because I want to get to defensive coaches now. There were times I know Mark kind of sarcastically talked about this, that people have, you know, said to him, like, oh, they blew the lead, like, late in the game, in the third preseason game or something, or the second, whatever, whatever it was. And, yeah, you don't really want to take that too much, but I will say,
how dare you accuse me of being sarcastic, by the way? Keep going.
When the Buccaneers' first team defense was in.
Yes.
They played, I think we all noticed this preseason, they played a much more aggressive style. Mm-hmm. They had guys playing press coverage a little bit more.
Yeah.
They were playing both in nickel and with Carlton Davis outside.
Mm-hmm.
They had the strong safeties creeping up a little bit more. They chose Justin Evans to play a little bit more of a center field role.
Yep.
Whenever the backups came in, they immediately went back to quarters coverage, like off coverage, quarters coverage.
Agreed.
When I watched the Jaguars tonight,
mm-hmm.
the Jaguars have a philosophy.
Yes.
And it is aggressive,
yep.
cover three, cover one. And
no
when
matter
the,
who's in
and
the game.
When the backups were in the game, guess
thing.
What they were playing?
Yep.
Aggressive cover three, cover one. And it worries me that Mike Smith is just having the door open to just go back to that quarters. Because when the backups came in, he had no problem going back to that old strategy that clearly hasn't worked over the last 2 years without Keith Tandy. Sorry, I always have to put that asterisk to salute Keith Tandy for getting this team like three extra wins in 2017.
I think you are exactly right.
I'm worried about that, man.
Yeah.
I'm worried about that.
Yeah, and that's where the injuries come into play, right? Because if Brent Grimes goes out like he did, miss a game or two last year with the shoulder, then all of a sudden you saw changes in philosophy and all that. So, yeah, I agree.
But
that's something to keep an eye on.
But this is something I asked Mike Smith, and I brought this up on the podcast before. You know, what do you do? I mean, you have more talent, right? Do you need to try and out-scheme somebody? Can you just – I mean, Monty Kiffin didn't out-scheme anybody. He had one scheme, and they just played it to perfection, right?
That's what the Jaguars do.
When you have a crappy defense and you have no chance, you've got to try and come up with exotic type of coverages and blitzes and things like that because you know you can't just line up 11-on-11 and win. You know, I don't know that Mike Smith needs to go crazy. I do like the more aggressive
in the secondary press coverage. But he's got to have something.
But you need to be. Do you need to be firing linebackers all the time? Do you need to be bring corners off the edge?
But listen, the good thing is in practice we saw plenty of times in training camp. We saw Quan Alexander screaming at the A gap on blitzes. We saw Levante David rushing from the B and C gap. We saw a lot of nickel
tonight blitz.
Yeah.
Did you see that play too? there were two people who knew that ball was snapped.
Yeah,
right.
The center
and Jack Citchie.
And Citchie came flying in and just nailed the quarterback when he was just standing up.
Like, I didn't hear a whistle. That's right.
Did you see him get up and celebrate it too?
Yeah, that's right.
It was his first sack in the NFL, so good for him.
Yep.
I wanted him to grab the ball and be like, hey, keep this ball.
I think that they're going to.
Might be his only sack in the NFL.
They're going to have more blitzes this year.
Get the center to sign it afterwards, the one that snaps
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. They're going to have more blitzes. Linebackers are going to blitz more. Nickel cornerbacks are going to blitz more. Probably Vernon Hargraves. I think they're going to blitz the safeties more.
But what happens when you blitz? What happens, I mean, theoretically, when you blitz, what are you doing? You're opening yourself up to what?
Yeah, you're playing man coverage when you're blitzing.
Whew. That's a little scary with the secondary still, other than Brent Grimes. Well, and Brent Grimes isn't really a cover kind of guy anyway. I mean, I don't know. Everybody, look, when we all played Madden and we played the old NCAA football, you know, I was always
Bill
blitzing
Walsh.
The linebackers and things
Sega
like
Genesis
that.
Days.
Sega Genesis, yeah. Going all the way back to the original Madden on the Apple computer that I had. You didn't actually control the guys. You call the play and the computer simulated it.
Right.
But I was an aggressive blitzing kind of guy. But I kind of see where Mike Smith's coming from by not blitzing a lot, just because, you know, if you can keep everything, and I know that people are going to freak out when they say this, just hear me out, keep everything in front of you, and then on third down, on obvious passing downs, maybe you bring a little extra pressure, but let's see what this team can do with this front four that they've rebuilt this offseason before you go crazy sending guys.
I think that's the key, Mark, is what Mike Smith is hoping to do is get there with four.
Right.
And not have third and two, third and three, but have a tackle for loss, have a sack on an early down to set up something like third and 10, where the quarterback has to hold the ball a little bit longer, those receivers have to go a little bit further, and then you're either going to have pressure, a sack, or just better lockdown coverage, hopefully, if you're the Buccaneers.
We talked about the formations on the defensive line on third down against a Matt Ryan and a Drew Brees. Where does the pressure need to come from? Up the middle, right? Collapse the pocket. Because neither one of these guys
are getting
outside to make
plays. The middle.
There's no Russell Wilson with those two guys. Now, Cam Newton's a different story because he will get outside and he can use his feet or still throw fairly well on the run. Matt Ryan and Drew Brees aren't going to do that. So, you know, I like the idea of bringing JPP inside, lining him up next to Gerald McCoy, and then having a Vinnie Curry and another defensive end on the other side, rushing from the edge. We were thinking it was going to be Noah Spence.
Right.
Let's talk about that elephant in the room.
Yeah. The feature in my SR's Fab 5, and we'll have to see. Jason Light apparently said on the Buccaneer broadcast, he was asked in the fourth quarter when he joined the broadcast about Noah Spence, and you know, obviously Jason read the SR's Fab 5 and said, nope, we're not going to cut him.
Yep, he read that.
Which is fine. I wasn't advocating that he be cut, but there's something clearly going wrong with Noah Spence, and we've heard from multiple team insiders how disappointed they are. And I think you could hear the disappointment and the tone from Brenson Buckner, the defensive line coach, in just not being able to translate what have been some pretty decent practices. He's almost like the Ronald Jones of the defense. Like, this team sees it in practice and they get excited about it, and it hasn't translated to production in games. And Noah Spence played pretty much the entire game tonight, played a lot in base defense, and it really was a tough situation for him in terms of being able to get home to the quarterback. He didn't register any sacks. What was his stat line tonight?
If I could find the Buccaneers, I will tell you that. I see it right here. Noah Spence had not a whole lot. Why can't I find him? Spence, right there. Three tackles and one quarterback hit.
Pressure. Okay, so he had
two, a pass breakup.
He had two quarterback pressures the entire preseason, half a sack, and four tackles. That was his production in four
not
preseason
good.
Games. No, not good.
Pro Bowl,
not
for 2018.
A guy who was a second-round pick that was expected to be the designated pass rusher for this team, and the problem is he's not rushing the passer well enough. So is he the guy that they're going to dress as a one-trick pony and make him one of the 46 guys active on Sunday and put him in that jet package and move JPP on the inside and hope that he can get home? I don't know. I don't know that the production in the preseason warranted that. He doesn't play in special teams. He doesn't play the run exceptionally well. And I like Noah, and I think he has the ability to be a damn good pass rusher. We just haven't seen the production yet.
Yeah, he's got to figure it out. I mean, a light's got to come on at some point. You know, he's one of those guys you can see he's got the body, he's got the speed, he's got the strength, certainly. But putting it all together, he hasn't been able to do it. And in those quotes you had from Brenson Buckner in your Fab Five, Scott, you know, that's basically what it seemed like Brenson was saying. You know, we see the potential. We see that there's still a ceiling
He's
there.
He's rushing without a plan.
Yeah, and that's
it's the mental part.
Again, you get away with that playing at Eastern Kentucky Valley State or wherever he was. Where was he?
Eastern Kentucky, and before that, Ohio State. It wasn't like, you know, he was a bad.
But you know what? You know what? You get away with that at Ohio State to a degree too.
Yes.
You don't get away with that in the NFL. You don't get away with that against third team offensive tackles, and I highly recommend people who may have the All 22 who subscribe to that, or if you tape the game on Channel 8 tonight, WFLA, the official news channel.
Can't get
news
All 22 in preseason.
But I'm saying the coaches film, whatever, the rewind. Watch Noah Spence tonight. He was just manhandled at times.
Yeah.
Washed completely out, completely stoned, knocked on his butt a time or two. And, you know, it's just, he does not look like a guy that was a second-round draft pick. He doesn't look like that guy that was a rookie 2 years ago.
Right, and that was happening against guys that probably aren't going to be in the NFL.
Yeah.
That's the thing. And you know, he missed an awful lot of time. I think he played in six games last year. He was on IR for 10.
Right.
It's been a long time since Noah Spence has played, and there's certainly still, to this day, some rust that has to be
How much money do you think Noah Spence makes? What's his salary? Anybody know?
More than yours.
Yeah.
Well,
I mean, $800,000 probably? In that range? It's a second-round pick?
No, he makes way more than that.
Okay.
Way more than that.
Well, all I'm saying is you think he's got enough money to own a boat. That's what I want to know.
I think he probably has enough money to own a boat. Yeah, yes. Yeah.
So, I mean, the way I would look at it, if I'm Noah Spence...
It depends on the boat, you know. Not like a Tiger Woods boat, but, you know.
Like a John boat or something.
I'm probably, you know, the next few days, I'm probably, because they're going to have a few days off, I'm probably going to just, you know, take my boat and plan on taking it out some during the off season on those Tuesday off days. But before you do that, you need to make sure your boat's running at top condition, right?
Yeah. Now, I want to just say one thing. People are talking about the red tide, and we're not just talking about salt water, boating, and fishing, right? Florida's got a ton of lakes.
Mm-hmm.
There's a community right next to me called Land O' Lakes, Florida.
Land O' Lakes.
Land O' Lakes.
Irish village.
Yes. And there are plenty of lakes.
I don't know, plenty of
boats out there, and there's no red tide in those lakes.
That's right.
So
that's
get your boat out there on the lakes.
And if you are a saltwater guy, this is the time to take your saltwater boat in to get it repaired and maintained because
you
can't.
Where are you going
to
do that? But where?
Well, I don't know. I drove by a place today on 50th and Adamo, and it was called T.A. Mahoney's. T.A. Mahoney's. I think that's the place that I would
probably take
my boat. I've been in plenty of times.
Okay.
I didn't go in today.
Okay.
It was raining. I didn't want to get wet.
All right.
But I've been in many times, and I met with Mike, the owner, and it's a family-owned business, and it has been since 1948, an institution in the Tampa Bay area. Listen, guys, you don't stay in business for 70 years. 70 years. And I know it's 70 because my dad was born in 48, and he just turned 70. So they've been in business 70 years. You don't stay in business unless you do things right, unless you treat customers the right way.
Do they have it? Do they have flares?
Yes.
Do they have life jackets?
Yep.
Do they have any type of apparel that would protect me from UV rays?
SPF 30, yep.
Do they have fishing gear, tackle?
Got it. Hooks, line, sinker, got it.
Do they have a left tackle for the Bucs on week one?
You know, I haven't been out to the garage. You know, maybe some of the guys who hoist the boats
might
up
have to
on
hit
the
them
lifts.
Up. Might have to tell Jason to hit them up.
Yeah, that's
just
a possibility.
See if they've got them in stock.
Right. And listen, if they
I wouldn't
don't,
doubt it.
If they don't have it, you just need to quit looking because T.A. Mahoney's has everything you need for all of
they
your boating
They don't have a left
needs.
Tackle. You just need to keep, you know, stop looking. It
exactly.
doesn't exist.
It doesn't exist. So check out T.A. Mahoney's. You can find them online, tamahoneyco.com. Again, stop by. Even if you don't have a boat, you know what? Stop by. Visit the showroom. I promise you, you will find something that will interest you, even if you don't own a boat, at T.A. Mahoney's on 50th and Adamo in Tampa since 1948. Make sure to check them out, and make sure to thank them for being a Pewter Nation podcast sponsor. Well, let's see, guys. It's midnight here in Tampa. We're watching WFLA do their newscast. No, they just wrapped up. And we're going to be doing that all season long.
Yes.
Road games, home games, during the season.
We get this fantastic show called Bucks Bonus. I think we've all been on there at least once.
Yep.
And we're going to continue to have those types of analysis episodes filmed in studio. Some of those might be filmed right here at Raymond James Stadium after the game with Dan Lucas and Danny Sabo. So
and we're going to have a fantasy football segment as well.
Yes, we are.
Our own
Andrew Scavelli is going to be in charge of that. Are you excited about that, Andrew?
I am, and I'm absolutely looking forward to bringing you guys the best fantasy analysis in Tampa Bay.
The best. I like it.
I like the cockiness from Andy. I like it. I like it. So make sure to check that out. In fact, Trevor's going to be on Sunday night on the Bucks Bonus Show.
Nah.
Yeah, no, you're going to be on.
You are.
Yeah, you're definitely on. Unless you die between now and then, you're definitely on. Because Scott and I have plans, so you have to do it.
Okay.
So you're definitely going to be on.
But if I'm dead, I don't have to do it?
Correct. We might prop you up.
Okay. Like Weekend at Bernie's?
Like Weekend at Bernie's, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Weekend at Trevor's.
Weekend at Trevor's, definitely. But anyway.
All right. Can I just like say a name and you guys tell me if they make the team?
Yes.
Sean Wilson.
Yes.
Yes.
Bobo Wilson.
No.
Practice squad.
Yeah, okay. Practice squad.
All right. Freddie Martino.
No.
No.
Jack Citchie.
Jack Citchie.
Yes.
Yes.
No.
Oh, yes. Do you think he gets practice squad? Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Whoa. Who are the linebackers? Run them down for me.
Me.
No.
You.
No.
Trevor.
No.
Andy.
No.
Allison.
No.
Pete.
No.
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 Hugh.
Worst linebacker corpse I've ever heard.
You're talking.
You just call him a corpse?
Yeah. Yeah, the corpses.
You're rattling off Pewter Report employees. I want to know the linebackers of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
All right.
Vontae David.
Right.
Ron Alexander.
Ray Lewis.
No.
Oh, my God. Adarius Taylor.
There's three. Kendall Beckwith is four.
Devontae Bond is five.
No. I don't think Devontae Bond makes it.
There's one.
Think,
does he make the
he
team?
Nope.
Riley Bullitt, does he make it?
Yes.
No.
You think he does?
I think he does.
You think he does? I'm going to say no.
I'm going to say no.
I'm going to go yes for Riley.
What do you hold on. But you said Jack Citchie what?
I think Jack Citchie makes it. Yes.
You think they're going to keep.
Keep in mind. Kendall.
So Cam Lynch is out.
Kendall Beckwith, I think, is going to start the season on PUP.
I agree.
That's one roster spot that's exempt. So if you're looking at linebackers then, you've got Quan, you've got Levante, you've got Adarius Taylor. There's three. You've got Jack Citchie is four. You've got Riley Bullitt is five. And then the sixth linebacker would be Cameron Lynch.
Wow, okay.
It depends on Bullitt's health, to be honest with
it
you.
Does.
I mean, he was in
it
a boot
does.
Last week at practice. I don't know that he's
you
stumped
your toe, they put you in a boot around here.
That's true.
They don't put me in a boot.
Well,
they might.
You're not a Buccaneer.
If you limp, you might.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. No, I'm just saying, like, if you have an ingrown toenail or a hangnail, they'll put you in a boot down here.
Okay.
That's how it is.
Right. Or if you're a 350-pound defensive tackle who strains their calf and hasn't participated in one single snap in the preseason, they put you in a boot.
That's right.
All right.
Vita Vea?
Justin Watson.
Makes the team. Yeah, definitely.
He makes the team?
Receiver number five.
Bernard Reedy.
No.
No. Nope. They only keep five receivers, I think.
Okay. Javion Elliott.
I think they keep five receivers because they need an extra offensive lineman.
Okay. Javion Elliott.
No.
Do any of the tight ends not named O.J. Howard, Cam Brate, or Anthony Auclair make the team?
Allen Cross. Hello.
Well, okay. You're right.
They keep four tight ends.
Yeah.
Okay.
Keep four because they don't have a fullback.
Ronald Jones. I'm just kidding. Just kidding. Well,
hey,
just had to trigger the listeners. Let's
be honest. If Ronald Jones is a fifth-round draft pick, Ronald Jones does not make this football team.
He's kaput.
He is.
He's out.
And you know why? Because last year's fifth-round pick, Jeremy McNichols, had a way more productive three-point season.
3 yards an average, something like that.
3.3 yeah. yards.
No, I mean, and so
average, all right, 79
let's be,
yards rushing.
You know, little tweets here and there, little, like, cut snippets, looking things up. Sometimes it can get lost in translation. Here's the thing with Ronald Jones.
It was a good movie, by the way.
He's been bad. He really has been. And listen, I'm totally with everybody that the offensive line has not been his friend.
Correct.
It absolutely has not. And I'm totally with him. So, like,
has
Ronald
it been
Jones,
Sean Wilson's
Ronald Jones,
friend?
This is
there
the
you
thing.
Go.
Ronald,
yeah.
Ronald Jones is never getting cut. Like, they
right.
like him. Obviously, he's a talented back. I thought he was very talented coming out of college. I'm not saying that he's a bad running back, but fact of the matter is, he's four games in the preseason. Dari, Sean Wilson, they've all been running behind the same offensive line.
Well, right. And we did a little bit of statistics and looking up. I mean, Dari's only averaging like 2.6 yards a carry. It's not like he's lighting it up.
Yeah, sure. But
he,
like,
he had a 17-yard run tonight. That's,
right.
That's almost
and
as long as –
here's the thing about Ronald
Jones.
Why did they draft Ronald Jones? To be a creative runner, right?
Right?
To be a dynamic, creative runner. We are four preseason games into the season, and he is by far the least creative running back they have on the team.
Didn't
right.
Their cutter
right
say
now, right now?
Did their cutter say in the offseason that he does? He gives this offense something they haven't had in a long time. That
yes,
home run
he
threat.
Does. Yes.
We have, but we haven't seen any
because
of that
here's
so
the
far.
Thing: he's reserved. You see it on every carry.
He's used to
all
seeing
of these
holes.
Watch
he's used to
Sean,
running to daylight.
Watch Sean Wilson run, and the second he gets that football, he thinks, I got to get a first down.
Yeah.
I got to make everything I possibly can out of this run. You know what Ronald Jones thinks? Don't fumble.
Well,
that's what he thinks.
No, what he's thinking is he gets the hand up. He's like, where's the hole?
He thinks don't fumble.
Yes, but he's also thinking,
well,
where's the hole?
No, that's
and
true.
There's no hole.
That's
sometimes
true.
You have to
so,
call
listen,
your own shot and make your own
line,
hole.
Done this guy no favors.
That's true.
I'm
agreed.
Not saying you run him out of town, but you can also be honest with the situation and say he has had by far the worst preseason out of all the running backs.
Yeah,
he's, both things can be true.
Trevor, he's had 28 carries.
22 yards.
28 carries, okay? It's not like he's had four or five and they're bad luck carries. He's had 28. That's a full game's
and
worth of carries.
And the thing that I keep going back to, and I brought this up to you guys with Ronald Jones, last year – when Peyton Barber was making his run to being the starting running back at the end
right.
of the year, I continued as the season went on to be like, man, the offensive line just is not doing Doug Martin any favors.
Yeah.
It's just not doing him. Doug Martin had some runs where they just screwed him
yep.
over.
But then
all
what
the time.
Happened when Peyton
and
Barber
it just
got
kept
in there.
And it just like kept happening. It was
yep.
like, man, they're just screwing over Doug Martin. And every time Peyton Barber got in the game, what happened? 3-4 yards.
That's
at
right.
least.
That's right.
Same offensive line.
Yep.
So I totally understand that offensive line is a big context to this.
It is.
But I also say that you've got to find a way to make yards.
That's right.
You
well,
really do.
Well, it's clear.
And Ronald Jones is getting his welcome to the
yep.
NFL
yeah.
that he's got to work to get yards.
You know what they need to feed this guy? A high-octane burger.
Maybe
octaver.
Running quick, maybe the bathroom. You know?
I mean, it might give him a little
depending
bit of
juice.
Depending
on how juice, many jalapenos they get, but
a little spark. This guy needs something, and you know, if I'm Dirk Cutter, I'm saying, you know what, Ronald Jones, here's a $50 gift card to Ford's Garage. Go get yourself a high octane burger and get your butt in high octane gear because we're going to need you this year.
Yeah, and you know what else too? I mean, he's obviously feeling like a little bit of the pressure, right? I mean, mm-hmm. he knows what his production is. It's not very
yeah.
good.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying, you know, drink away your sorrows.
Yes,
get,
you are.
Get hammered. I'm
you
just
do.
I'm just saying, have a local craft beer from Florida.
That's true.
With your burger. Just mellow out a little bit. Enjoy your meal. And get that high octane going and go out there and handle it.
And you can do that at multiple locations across the Bay Area, guys. It's not like there's just one.
There's plenty of Ford's Garage around here.
You turn around, there's a Ford's Garage. I mean, if you're in West Chase, there's a
Ford's Garage.
If you're in Land O'Lakes or Lutz, New Tampa, where what is there?
Ford's Garage.
I mean, if you go to Lakeland, Polk County of all places, you turn around, what?
Ford's Garage.
Exactly, guys. I went down south the other day to Sarasota. Could have kept going down to Fort Myers, Estero area, and I probably would have ran into. Oh wait, I would have run into a Ford's Garage.
There you go.
I want to go on vacation. I'm thinking about going up to Northern Michigan because Kid Rock lives up there and Bob Seger. I may go up there.
It's awful reasons.
And if I go up there, the Motown Museum's in Detroit. That's worth going to Detroit for, if you don't get killed. But I'm thinking about going there. But if I do, I'm going to go to Dearborn, Michigan, because there's a Ford's garage there, too.
Dearborn.
And there are going to be more Ford's locations, including when I'm overseeing Mickey Mouse in Disney.
There you go.
I'm going to swing by, because it's cheaper to eat before you go to Disney. There's a little tip
very
for you
true.
Non-Floridians,
very
right?
Very yes. true.
Go by, get yourself a high-octane burger, get yourself a craft beer, go get yourself the salmon, go get yourself the new grilled chicken, the fried chicken tenders,
and if
get yourself a key lime pie,
if you're
the funnel
for
cake
dessert,
fries.
The rum cake is outstanding.
This man loves the rum cake.
I do. I'm
again,
a rum cake connoisseur.
All about the alcohol.
Actually, I'm a rum
Reynolds.
Cake snob, honestly.
Oh.
I'm a snob when it comes
so
to rum
cake. You're a
critic
almost.
I am.
Did Mama Judy make a good rum cake when you were a kid?
No. Mama Judy did not make any good food.
What? I hope Judy's not listening to this.
My mom made three good meals. Lasagna.
Hamburger helper.
No, beef and beer, which was like a gourmet hamburger helper.
Beef and beer?
Beef and beer, yeah. It's like a stroganoff, but without the
but with beer in it.
Yeah, with beer in it, exactly.
That's good to give 7-year-old kids. Way to go, yes. Judy. Keep going.
And TV dinners. Swanson TV dinner. She made fantastic TV Swanson dinner. And this is before microwaves. This is when you had
to
cook
it for 47 minutes.
Cook it for 47 minutes in the oven.
Trevor, I was mad last night.
You missed
night.
It, man. No, you missed having to wait 47 minutes for
literally.
A meal.
No, I really didn't.
I was mad last night when it took 10 minutes to cook my frozen pizza. I was like, 10 minutes. Then I started thinking, you're right. Literally, it would take 47 minutes to cook your Salisbury steak and really rubbery green beans.
Yeah, with your little brownie, your cherry compote.
Or the candied apples or whatever they are, the fried apples. Yep. Why do you always think that's a good dessert? That's no good. I want chocolate pudding.
Yeah, no one it's wants fruit for dessert.
Yeah, that's true. But anyway, go check out Ford's Garage. Get yourself high octane burger. Get yourself multiple things. Great menu.
Go
great alcohol
up,
selection.
I
actually had a margarita the other day.
Yeah. Wow.
I was wasted away in Margaritaville in Brandon at the Ford's Garage. They're awesome. They're also on their
please
happy hour from
Jimmy
11
Buffett.
To 7. They say that's a happy hour. That's like a happy half a day, 11
yeah,
to 7. They've got great deals.
Day.
So check them out. Also thank them for being a great sponsor of the Pewter Nation podcast. Well, fellas, it is time. Real football. Thank God this fourth preseason game is over. We dread it every week. Every year we try and come up with excuses not to come. We try not to watch it, but we have to because it's
to
kind
be
of our
dead
job.
Get out of this
thing on Sunday.
Yeah, you know.
Well, you can't. There's no dying during football season.
Yeah,
Scott,
that is
you know, preseason
rule.
You can die, but once the regular season starts, you have to live.
I did sign that contract.
Yep. Yep, that's the only contract we make people sign here at PewterReport.com. Make sure to follow us on Twitter. Make sure to follow us on all social media platforms. We've got a lot of great new content planned.
Yeah, we actually do. And part of the reason we're having some new content is we've got a new member of the team, Andrew Scavelli. If you listen to the podcast last week, he filled in for you and did a fantastic
job.
Probably
was awful. I wouldn't
no,
listen.
He did a
I'm
fantastic
not listening to that
job.
Nonsense.
So, Andrew, just in a couple words here, just tell us about some of the stuff that you're going to bring to the table for the Pewter Report fan base out there.
Well, I'm looking forward to not only contributing with our Bucks content, but I'm going to be bringing some national content with some weekly power rankings. We're going to have some fantasy football rankings, a fantasy football mailbag. We're going to put out all sorts of wonderful graphics and videos, and I'm also going to be introducing our own very cool feature on PewterReport.com called PRTV, which is going to be a TV channel in a sense, and we're going to have three brand new shows. I guess I could announce the titles of them tonight. We have on Mondays The Score with Trevor Sikkema.
What's up?
Don't bother to watch it.
We on Wednesdays we have Reynolds on the Record.
Don't waste your time.
And of course on Thursdays, the show that we've all been waiting for.
Yes.
We have What's Cooking with Mark Cook.
That's
so I'm very
right.
excited
watch
to bring
that one. If you're going to watch one
it's
of the
47
three.
Minutes long?
Exactly.
What's Cooking?
I'm going to cook a
yeah.
TV dinner.
Exactly.
In
an
oven.
But I'm very
yes.
excited to bring those shows as well as other video content to the site.
Do your football takes take as long to finish as an old conventional oven?
Yes, okay. pretty much.
Right. And I'm looking forward to the season.
Very cool. We're looking forward to. So a lot of great content coming your way on PewterReport.com. A lot of your favorites and standbys. PR Monday mailbags, Cover 3 by Trevor Sikkema will come out on Tuesdays, SR's Fab 5 on Fridays, and then on game days we're going to have Most Impressive, Most Disappointing, those loyal standby items that you always like to consume, along with the two-point conversion. So
and our podcast. There's going to be some weeks where we're not going to. Home games, we're going to be doing them the day of the game.
Tell them why.
Road games, Trevor's going to be traveling to a lot of the road games, and Scott and I have no idea how to run the equipment.
Yeah.
Therefore, there will not be a podcast. But as soon as Trevor gets back in town, when the Amtrak gets back in town, because you know we're the low cost provider, so we're not sending him on airplanes. We're going to send him via train.
But like,
we
like,
should really look into that seriously. We should send this guy by Amtrak, old school.
I mean,
and give him a manual typewriter.
If you look at the planes, trains, and automobiles with John Candy,
right?
You know, we're just taking the plane part out of it. It's either trains or automobiles.
So if he takes a train, he should be back in Tampa by no later than Thursday morning.
Well,
after
I would
Sunday
say
game.
Maybe Wednesday.
Back
in time back for
road
a
games.
Room.
Yeah, not great. You know.
Well, at least we're not sending you via stagecoach. We considered that as well, but we couldn't find any more stagecoaches, unfortunately. So they're not.
Or like
around.
A whole like flock of carrier pigeons.
Yeah.
Like working in tandem, but you know, I don't know. You've been hitting the weights, kid. So you're getting a little bit bigger.
I know.
I don't think the doves can handle you.
You can't. We don't have the budget to hire enough doves.
That's true.
I just can't wait for you to do the old man joke when you fly back into town and you go, gee, my arms sure are killing me. I just flew back into town this week.
I will
do that.
Never.
Come on.
Listen to me.
Dad jokes always rule.
I will never do that.
That's still the greatest joke in the history of comedy, by the way.
Not really. I'm going to say no.
No?
No, I've heard far better jokes than that.
Yeah, I haven't.
A lot of which I can't repeat because this is a family program.
It's Bucks pass rush last year was a better joke. What's up?
Easy.
Sorry.
22 sacks, 6 in one game. That means 16 over the course of 15. So, anyway, not very good. They're going to get better this year. In fact, I'm going to go ahead and make my bold prediction.
Don't stop, please.
They're going to get 22 sacks in the first game against Drew Brees. No? It's after midnight. At this point, we can say whatever we want. Right? All right. Maybe not. But I will guarantee you they will get more. And Scott and I have a bet. Scott and I do have a bet. How much? 50 or 100?
For what?
Who gets the most sacks on this team?
What is it? Y'all bet?
I'm saying Gerald McCoy leads this team in sacks this year.
Yes.
No,
he will have double-digit sacks this year.
Yes.
And if he could.
And I'm saying that he won't. That's
and you're saying
bet.
JPP
you can't,
will.
There are no caveats.
All right,
you
no
cannot
caveats.
Say
right,
if,
fine.
If, what,
okay.
anything.
Right,
you have
fine.
To say who's going to lead the team in sacks.
It's going to be Gerald McCoy.
It's not going to be Gerald McCoy.
Who's it going to be?
It's going to be Jason Pierre-Paul.
With how many?
Huh?
How many?
I'm just saying he's going to lead the team in sacks.
How
he's
many?
He's going to have one more than Gerald.
Is it going to be double-digit?
Is it a double-digit number?
I don't think so. I think it's 8 or 9.
That ain't no good. I want somebody to get 10 so we can get off this stupid Simeon Rice thing
stop
that you hear every
Simeon
year.
Rice.
Exactly. If you're going to talk about him, bring his ass back. That's what I say. He wanted to come back
he
last
to come
year.
He wanted to come back last year, yeah.
And they wouldn't do it.
Yep.
And it couldn't have been any worse than what we saw last year.
Jason,
he could not
like,
have
no,
been
no, no, no. We've got Robert Ayers, and we got Noah Spencer.
Did you see Robert Ayers got signed by the Lions, then 26 hours later they released him?
Yeah.
Yeah, not a good sign.
Yeah.
Well, they had their double-digit pack.
They probably made a lot of money
Chuck
in that 26
Smith,
hours,
cut
though.
Cut him last year.
That and Akeem Spence.
Yeah.
Man.
Akeem got cut, too?
I don't think he's there anymore, no.
Okay.
What? Wow. Yes, he's in Detroit still.
Akeem Spence?
Yes.
Is he?
Yes.
Did he play last week?
I don't know. I'm not sure. I can't remember.
All right,
but
I'm looking
I
this up. Hold on. You better stall because we're not ending the podcast until I figure this out.
We're not going to end the podcast yet, but we are going to say we will be back later in the week. We're going to do a midweek podcast probably Wednesday this week, so make sure to tell all your family and friends, anybody
Akeem Spence
who
plays
loves
for the
football.
Miami Dolphins.
Exactly.
Wow.
That's what I told you. Plays for the Dolphins.
Wow.
He's still in the league at least. Unlike Robert Ayers. Anyway, for Andy Scavelli, for Trevor Sikkema, and for Mr. Scott Reynolds, I'm Mark Cook, and we will see you Wednesday for another edition of the Pewter Nation Podcast.
Out.
Out.
Out.